Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. All right, so it's a cold night after a quick freeze in early January. You're woken up at 3 a.m. by a loud booming noise and the house shakes. But in the morning, you mention it to neighbors down the road and they have no idea what you're talking about. What happened? Was it an earthquake? Are you just losing your mind? Well, it might have been a frostquake or a cryoseism. The Shelburne News has reported that town residents have been experiencing sounds and shakings that could be caused by these frostquakes. The Vermont Geological Survey doesn't track the phenomena, but the Maine Geological Survey does. So to tell us a little bit about what cryoseisms are and how they happen, Henry Berry joins us. He's a bedrock geologist for the Maine Geological Survey. Henry, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Well, it's my pleasure.
All right, so what exactly is a cryoseism or a frostquake?
Well, your introduction sets it up quite well. It's an event, it's a naturally occurring phenomenon that has effects that are like a tectonic earthquake, but they're not caused by the same sort of deep forces. It's something that happens just because of temperature drops and contraction of the Earth's surface. So it's a phenomenon that happens right at the Earth's surface.
So it's not something that's, you know, very, very low, internal, into the bedrock, but as you said, right at the surface, but it requires some pretty specific weather changes. So very, very saturated soil, I understand, and then a temperature drop that goes from a little bit above freezing or right around freezing to quite cold in a short time.
Well, I mean, the fact is that these things are very hard to study because they happen fast and they only affect a very local area. So we don't really know a lot about exactly what the conditions might be. But the things that seem to, you know, once we get the stories and put the information together, the patterns that show up are, as you describe, that it's like the first cold snap of the year, especially if there's not much snow cover, so that the cold air has a chance to suddenly freeze the ground surface.
So then that makes sense for what some residents of Shelburne might have been experiencing in early January after we had had that really warm December and it had been kind of wet, and then we suddenly got a cold snap. Do you think those could have been frostquakes that they experienced?
Well, I think it's a good possibility. I saw the article that you forwarded from the Shelburne News, and I think that it actually does a nice job of getting the kind of information that we look at in order to make this sort of decision. So the things that are important in trying to differentiate, so there are ways that these frostquakes are similar to tectonic earthquakes, and there are ways that they're really different. The similarities we talked about a little bit, and that the effects, a loud booming noise or a sudden shock or a jolt and shaking, are the same sorts of effects you might experience in an earthquake. But the differences are it only affects just one house or one place, and a few hundred yards away, nobody would even know it's happening. It's very localized. And it also doesn't really affect the deep Earth, so it doesn't send seismic waves through the Earth's crust, so they're not detected by seismographs across New England.
So how does the Maine Geological Survey actually keep track of them? Just citizen reports?
Yeah, that's it. So earthquakes, it's kind of a byproduct. We weren't really looking for them, but we collect information on earthquakes when they occur. Vermont, I think, is sort of a low-hazard state, and Maine is a moderate-hazard state. That most of New England has some low level of earthquake susceptibility. So we had, for a while, we had a website that we were collecting information, and we got a few of these odd ones that came in. People experienced earthquakes, but we knew that there hadn't been one. And so gradually realized that this was something worth tracking.
Rather than calling them crazy.
Well, they'd tell me that when they call. They say, hey, my neighbors think I'm crazy, but I really felt something. So I say, you know, it's not up to me to decide whether you're crazy. That's outside my field. But this is the sort of thing that can happen.
If you had a seismograph right in the house under which a frostquake was occurring, would it actually register on the Richter scale?
I was with you right up until you said Richter scale.
Uh-oh. What did I say wrong?
Yeah. In fact, this is an important distinction. So there are two ways that we measure the size of an earthquake. One is magnitude scale, the Richter scale is a measurement. It's a numerical calculation of the amount of energy that's released.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're talking about with these frost quakes or cryoseisms is the intensity scale. So it's a different scale that measures what the effects are. So the intensity scale really relies entirely on people telling us what happened and making observations. And it's in that way we try to connect the intensity scale with the magnitude scale. And for tectonic earthquakes, things that are generated in the Earth's crust, there's a pretty good correspondence. But with these things, it's the amount of intensity that people are feeling just doesn't match up with the seismic waves that are generated. So there's almost nothing that shows up on the instruments. That having been said, there was a specific study done in the early 80s around Albany at the time of the people were reporting some cryoseisms, and they put seismometers in neighbors' houses a few hundred yards apart. And sure enough, they picked up the vibrations, but different neighbors were reporting different events. So one house, they would feel something, and the instruments recorded it. But in the next house, the instruments didn't record that event. They recorded a different one that happened maybe an hour later.
Wow, that's fascinating. Can these actually do any damage? I mean, it sounds a little bit worrying if you think that maybe one of these could be happening right next to you.
Well, it's the same sort of damage that you'd expect by freezing ground in New England anyway. Cracks, the most common thing that has been found associated with these is a crack in like a driveway or something that you knew was smooth beforehand. So it can cause cracks, but they generally don't go very deep. They're just at the ground surface. So there was one report we had of somebody who said that their crack in the foundation had happened associated with this. But I don't know. I'd say very rarely and maybe never.
Well, in that case, I hope we all get to experience one of these within our lifetimes. Henry Barry is a bedrock geologist from the Maine Geological Survey, and he's been telling us about cryoseisms or frost quakes. Henry, thank you so much. What a pleasure to have you with us.
All right, great. It's been nice talking to you.